Good morning. Welcome to worship. Special welcome to visitors and guests with us today. Special welcome to all of you joining us from home. This week, we conclude our season of creation. This has been a four-week series of something we did with Emmaus and United, and we've had different pastors here from different places. Today, Deacon Claire is over at Emmaus, but I'm still back here at Central. And it has been a joyous time on building energy. We've had a few Saturday activities, and we're so thankful that we've been able to try this new thing this summer. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning with our opening litany. I invite all who are able to stand. Come, worship the God of all creation. We gather to praise the Creator, the continuous source of all living things. Come, worship our God who breathes life into being. We praise the Creator who fashions the forest, whose trees clean the air of this world. Come, worship our God who forms life out of soil. We praise the Creator whose land brings nourishment. Come, worship our God who receives our lament in the wilderness. We praise the Creator whose Son brings healing to all creation. Come, worship our God who sends waters flowing with life. We praise the Creator whose baptism unites us to be one in the body of Christ with all creation. In water, we are joined to Christ and the entirety of the Trinity in the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives into the new creation with your forgiveness, grace, and love.
Amen.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Pray. God, through your promise of a new creation here on earth, you give us hope and joy. Draw us more deeply into relationship with you, that we may share your deep love for wilderness, water, land, plants, creatures, and all you have made. Prepare us, God, for what lies ahead as we seek to participate in your creative work of renewal and restoration of all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. To whom, then, will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see, who created these? He who brings out the host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strength the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The word of the Lord. Our second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 6. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we can no longer know him in that way. So, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Look, new things have come into being. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ. be reconciled to God. For our sake, God made the one who knew no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we work together with him, we entreat you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time, I have listened to you. The word of the Lord.
Gospel from John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. Jesus said, I tell you, if the people were silent, the very stones would shout out. Please be seated. One verse from that epistle lesson that Honor read for us. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Look, new things have come into being. In this season of creation, in this month of July, we have moved from how we started at the beginning of the month, that we are ourselves creation. And that as creation, we are rooted in Christ, with our theme, rooted in God's living soil. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Andrew from Emmaus talked about how we steward the earth and the earth stewards us back. And together with the earth, we shout with joy to our God. Last week, Pastor Eric Dole was here from United and talked about the decay and breakdown when creation and we ourselves also sigh in groaning too deep for words amidst forest fires and other natural disasters. Today, we turn from that lament to something new. What was old has passed away, something new has come into being. It is a service today of joy, recognizing that from death comes life, that there is resurrection. And our focus today is that phrase in 2 Corinthians, new creation. The emphasis of it is on that new. But of course, what makes something new? What makes how we live now new creation? Paul uses the phrase only twice in all of his letters, and both are distinctly about something radically new and different has arisen. Paul believes that Jesus has done something utterly unknown. Something has radically changed. And I think for us, in just regular life, when we hear that something is radically new, I think we've been trained to be pretty skeptical. It seems that we automatically assume that if something is presented as truly new, then probably it's either not very good, meaning there's a reason we didn't have this already, Or, more likely, you're calling it new, but in reality it's something we've always had, and I'm getting really skeptical of why you seem convinced that you need to tell me it's new. I think that's how we've often been led to think of new things. And to illustrate that frustration that can come with it, I want to talk for a minute about my time when I was a faculty member at Concordia Portland before I came to Central. And I had a wonderful time teaching classes there and working with students. But the business side of the university was something else. And not something that I, as a lowly theology instructor, was very involved in. But you knew what was happening, and frequently the tenors of it didn't sound too good. And it was a failing university on its last legs, and you had business managers trying desperately to salvage something. And of course, most of us on faculty and staff didn't have a lot of confidence. These are the same people who got us in this mess, but that was a different story. But that they recognized there needed to be change. We needed something new and different. So every year, before the school year started, there'd be an all-staff and faculty retreat where the administration team of various sorts would roll out our new focus and model for how we were going to turn around the culture of the university this year. And every year, they would bring a new model they adapted of some new business strategy, usually from a corporate model, and say, this is how we're going to create a new thing here and do new things that we've never done before. For example, when I first started, they were really into the fish philosophy. It came from Pike Place Fish Market in Seattle. And it included ideas like, have fun at work, and it builds collaboration and teamwork, and we're going to really pull together. And what it'll do is it'll change our culture to something new, and it'll increase efficiency by increasing productivity, decreasing needless waste, and if we don't do this thing this year, it's all going to fall apart, and we very well might have to close. The next year, it was Toyota's lean philosophy, and it was a totally new thing that we'd never done before, and there were various mission statements and things that went with it, but the payoff was that this would increase efficiency by increasing productivity, decreasing needless waste, and if we don't do this specific thing, we very well want to have this. The next year, it was a customer service model that I couldn't quite remember, but I think it was from Home Depot. And it was about ensuring people got very prompt responses and being a people-first institution, which, of course, had the payoff that if you did this, we'd increase efficiency so we could increase productivity. And you see where this is going. There were more. And every year, it was a new initiative. We seem to try something for 9 months, then start completely over with some new thing that if we would have stuck with, it would have been a massive overhaul. And I don't know much about the business end of higher education or business administration in general, but I don't think a calendrical, a plan to new initiatives that would take years to accomplish really are going to be very successful. And they weren't. And that's, I think, what often we think about newness. We throw around a bunch of new names and new energy and talk about being different and in order to accomplish new things we've never done before. And in order to accomplish all those new things, we'll go along merrily doing what we always did without changing a single thing. That, I think, is what we've been trained to think of when someone brings what's new here. It's either not really new, or if it is new, then it's not very valuable. But Paul presents it differently. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Look, new things have come into being. So how can we, here, with our understanding of new things, find this to be genuine, real, and meaningful? After all, it's been talking about new creation. Well, you notice the last 4 weeks, we've been talking about creation. And we've really been emphasizing that creation isn't something that God did a whole long time ago and then stopped doing. It's continuing on all the time. It continues. It lives in us. So what makes it new now this week? What for Paul is new? Of course, Paul is thinking of the cross, the resurrection, and certainly it is all about Jesus, but wasn't it always all about Jesus? Like the gospel reading we've had for every one of these weeks in the season of creation, Jesus was the one through whom all things were created. It was always all about Jesus. So what does Paul mean? New creation. I think there's a clue here that we can easily read too quickly. When Paul talks about new creation, Paul sets that up at the very beginning of our reading. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. From now on. I hope that shocks you a little bit. What's the now Paul's talking about? He seems to be talking about the inbreaking of Christ in the world at his incarnation, at his crucifixion, at his resurrection. So what's the now? Paul's writing 20 to 30 years after that happened. Shouldn't it be from then forward? Not from now on? But that's not what Paul says. He says, from now on, we who are in Christ, we could see the world from a different point of view. Even if it was about Paul's own personal relationship with Jesus, which, by the way, I don't think it is. I do think it's about Jesus coming into the whole world. But even if it was about that, then you would still have it in the past. It would be about his experience of the road to Damascus. But he doesn't say that. From now on. So what's this now business? Remember what Paul says. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Look, new things have come into being. When has everything old passed away? When is the new thing here? It's always right now, in the present. See, when we think of something new, we usually are talking about it in chronological terms, temporally new. It wasn't before, but it is now. Well, of course, by definition, that can only happen once. Once that new thing has arrived, now it's old. But I would challenge us to think about new in a different way. New can be a temporal marker, but it can also be a quality marker. The way something is fresh. So for God, new isn't a when at all. It's a who. Paul says, so if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. It is about us in Christ. And the newness is in Christ. The way Christ relates to us is always fresh and always new. The same relationship we have on the day of our baptism is the same relationship we have with Christ today. It's always fresh. Not a when, but a who. The who, God, is not the same kind of chronological beings that we are. What for us is the past, the present, the future, for God is always just the present. We live in the past. The traumas, the sins, the errors, the pain we have experienced in our lives, either things committed against us or things we've done ourselves, what we'd call result of sin in the world, those things live inside of us and persist. We hate them, but they persist. That's because we are chronological in that way. We can hold on to what was and embody it into what is. But God isn't like that. God lives in the right now, always. One theologian famously said, if we were to ask God, what about all those sins and errors I have offended you in the past? Don't you kind of hold them against me at least a little? He hypothesizes God would respond, I don't remember what you're talking about. The forgiveness we receive is total, but more than that, holding on to what is yesterday is a human thing, not something God does. In God, it's always today. Always God is creating. Always God is becoming human. Always God is dying on the cross. Always God is being resurrected. Always God is reaching and speaking to you afresh every day. Always you are being baptized. Always God is making you a new creation. It's saying that aspect of God who is, the newness and freshness of life is in you today. And the same thing will be just as true tomorrow and the next day and the day after that. So when Paul says that from now on, that's absolutely how God operates. Every day is from now on. Every day, God acts in creation as new creation. It's new in the sense that it's fresh, it's vibrant, it's alive. In that sense, it's always new. It was not then new and now old. It's just new. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Look, new things have come into being. You are always a new thing coming into being. There is the new creation, wherever Christ is in us. Being rooted in God's living soil is being always new. Always being loved, accepted, and established and rooted in who God is in our lives. You are a new creation. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father, the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Blessed God, whose love calls the whole creation into covenant with you, and who puts our hands responsibility for the care of the earth and its creatures, we pray for all to whom you have given life and being, saying, "Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great." Almighty God, we pray for the Church and all servants of the Gospel. Equip rostered and lay ministers to proclaim that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Form confirmands and catechumens into disciples. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Gracious God, we pray for the well-being of creation. Safeguard the environment, clean polluted rivers and lakes, preserve the mighty tree and the tiny mustard seed, and send advocates for sustainable practices. We pray especially for lands and areas affected by wildfires, flooding, and intensive heat. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Compassionate God, we pray for the nations. Instill in all who govern the ability to discern between good and evil, free for those who are oppressed, and protect those facing danger. Promote peace across the world and in our towns and neighborhoods. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Holy God, we pray for this congregation, both those gathered today and those absent from our assembly. Grant safety to travelers and refreshment and safety for children attending summer camps or community programs. Give direction to any experiencing life transitions. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Merciful God, we pray for all in any need. Protect those fleeing from war. Shelter any who are in poverty. Clothe the naked, soothe all who grieve, and heal the sick, the suffering, those in recovery and those isolated and alone. We pray especially this week for Betsy Berg, Terry Chapp, Chuck Dietz, Gay and Dal Haverland, Doug and Jody Martin, Gretchen and Jeff Seamus, Ed Thompson, and several of the family members of David Joe. For whom else or what else do the people pray? We lift up before you all these we've named aloud, those held in our hearts and those known only to you. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Eternal God, we give thanks for your saints who now rest from their labors. Inspire us by their witness to treasure the gospel and continually nourish us with your grace. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray in the name of the one who reconciled all creation to himself, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Please stand up, share that peace with one another, and wave to those joining us from home. Peace be with you. A few brief notes about our life together this week. As you flip to the back of your bulletin there, see several things that are going on. We'll go through all of them. Special recognition of these flowers here for Vonnie Wildish's 90th birthday. Also, you see the blood drive is going to be hosted here again. You can see different ways to sign up and schedule an appointment. Please do that if you're planning to give blood. It makes it a lot easier on them as they're planning. And then the only thing I'll point out is you flip to the very last page, you see that ELCA study for civic life and faith. This is something that has come from churchwide. They're working on a new social statement, and they have a draft at a workshop where they want to hear our feedback. And this is something that Deacon Claire was one of the authors of the last social statement. She was on the team. They really need this feedback, and very few people do it. So it is really helpful for them. And it also is such an important conversation these days. If we're bothered by the news with Christian nationalism and all kinds of different things, this is, well, how do we faithfully respond to questions as our society and relate to government? So this will be a wonderful opportunity to do that. Several Tuesday evenings on Zoom. It's beginning this Tuesday, led by Deacon Claire and myself. So please join us on Tuesday with that. Zoom link will be mailed out at 1:30 this afternoon, and the weekly will also have it on the website. So please join us for that. I think it's going to be a meaningful time and an enjoyable time. There's a few other things you could read there, but with those brief announcements, let's continue with our service in with our offertory. Let us pray. God of field and forest, sea and sky, you are the giver of all good things. Sustain us with these gifts of your creation and multiply your graciousness in us, that the world may be fed with your love through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and at all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, through whom you created all things, who in his crucifixion and resurrection bestowed on us new life as the new creation. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church, the whole creation, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
God triune, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Over the eons, your merciful might evolved our home, a fragile tree of life. Here, by your wisdom, are both life and death, growth and decay, the nest and the hunt, sunshine and storm, darkness and light. Sustained by these wonders, we creatures of dust join in the ancient song, the earth is full of your glory. O God triune, you took on our flesh and Jesus our healer. In Christ you bring life from death. We remember his cross. We laud his resurrection. Broken like bread, he enlivens our body. Outpoured like wine, he fills the earth with goodness. Receiving this mystery, we mortals sing our song. The earth is full of your glory. We praise you for the heart of Jesus, so filled with your love for this earth, that in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Gathered around this table, we, your children, unite in this song. The earth is full of your glory. O God triune, you create the worlds. You uphold the living. You embrace the dead. Send forth your spirit and renew the face of the earth. Strengthen us for our journey with this meal, the body and blood of Christ. Give us a future that trusts in you and cares for your earth. Empowered by your promises, we rise from our deaths to praise you again. The earth is full of your glory.
The earth is full of your glory.
Amen and amen.
Amen
and amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. For distribution this morning, we'll invite you to come forward to the center aisle, receive the bread in the form of a wafer, and then intinct or dip it in the cup. The cup has red wine or white grape juice. All are welcome at the Lord's table. This is Christ's meal, and it is Christ who bids you come.
Thank you.
And may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in you we live and move and have our being. With your word and this meal of grace, you have nourished our life together. Strengthen us to show your love and serve the world in Jesus' name. Amen.
I receive the benediction. The God who calls across the cosmos and speaks in the smallest seed, bless, keep, and sustain you, now and to the end of the age. Amen.
Peace. Share the harvest.
Thanks be to God.